Hello. This is a beautiful fall morning on the 28th of September, 1969. The sun has broken over the tops of the buildings next door. It's a clear sky, but it's only 40 degrees out, so fall must be in the air. Well, we're getting ready for a trip we hope will be a nice one to Spain, leaving on this Sunday morning. We have had a little change in our plans on who's going to be the babysitters. We shouldn't call them babysitters anymore. Who's going to stay with the girls? Our Herr and Frau Stelter. Only this time it's the daughter of Frau's daughter-in-law and the son of the regular babysitter we have, Frau Stelter. Well, what are you girls going to do today?
Go to the Congress and stay there till 5 o'clock, and we'll go to church with them. Then they'll bring us back, and Carla and Walter and Gladys will be here.
Gladys is a baby.
How old is Gladys?
I don't know. 2 years or maybe more.
No, she's only 10 months old. She doesn't walk yet, but she's starting to crawl around. I have an idea that these two girls will have lots of fun with Gladys while we're gone. Don't you think so?
No.
Oh, yes, you will. Have you anything else to say, young lady?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. We better see who the co-pilot on this trip is and how she is this morning.
Oh, she's hurrying around to wash the dishes and change the bed and get everything ready. And I just emptied the dishwater and found something I forgot to wash.
Oh, already forgetting things. Well, goodbye for now.
Now it's evening, and we are in Lyon, France. Lyon is the third largest city of France, and we're situated in a hotel. We had a nice drive today. We left Wiesbaden about 9, took the Autobahn until almost southern Germany, and then crossed over into France. And we had a lovely drive through part of Alsace-Lorraine and then through Burgundy. The roads were better than I thought they would be. They were wide. They were in good condition. And we were able to get on to reading the signs and doing that. So we got along fine.
We crossed the Rhine just north of Basel at Mulhouse and come on down the valley across there.
We followed a beautiful French river nearly all the way here through France. It was a wide river valley, and the road wasn't too curvy, but on both sides were wooded hills. Some got quite high. They were covered with deciduous trees that were just starting to be a tinge of yellow in some places, so it was very pretty. We followed this Doubs River Valley through Belfort, Besançon, and Clerdon de Lyon, and now at Lyon, where we found the Rhone River, and we'll follow that all day tomorrow. The traffic situation was good today, except 23 kilometers out of Lyon, and then it was stop, creep. Everybody was going back home, and it took us a long time to get that last 23 kilometers.
I hope we have as good a weather the rest of the trip as we had today. The sun shone almost the entire time. Did make it kind of tough driving because we headed toward the sun most of the time. So the sunglasses were sorely needed today. I've been told the French are impatient drivers like the Germans, and I found out that's true tonight when we got into the traffic jam out here north of Lyon. They'd just pull out and pass strings of cars, like 20 or 30, and if they met somebody, they just expected the oncoming car to pull over to the side of the road and let them through and make three lanes of traffic. I think the funniest thing we saw, though, was just when we were coming back to the hotel tonight. There was a short parking place, and the guy pulled in, and he got his back into the car and just as far as he could, but he wasn't getting the front end swung into the curb very well. So we just shut off the motor, and he got out with three other guys, and they just picked the front end of the car up and slid it over to the curb. I guess that's one advantage of these small cars that they have here. Pretty easy to pick up and move.
Off the second morning out, starting out from Lyon, France, we got a chance to see what man has done to clutter up his environment, for we drove in smog for many miles along the Rhone River Valley. It was a bit foggy on the river, but most of it you could tell from the smokestacks pouring the dirt out that it was man contributed, and it certainly did spoil our view. In fact, we didn't have much of a view at all for a long time. We drove on a French toll road, which was very nice. We drove on another one later on in the afternoon, and then again in Spain. They all charge money, but it certainly does beat going on the other roads with all the traffic. Since we did go on toll roads so much, we didn't notice the flowers that we had the day before. The day before we had noticed so many dahlias, and people's yards were just masses of flowers, and we did notice again today that the cities had their little squares and circles and parks all fixed with flowers, but we didn't get as good a view from the freeway on the flower part. Of course, the Romans have been in Gaul, and Gaul is France. France has better preserved ruins of Romans than Italy does, because especially in Rome, they were building right on top of them all these many years. We did make a little jog off the road to see a Roman aqueduct that had been built at the time of Caesar Augustus, before Christ. It spanned the river, and it was in three tiers, and it was in perfect shape, absolutely perfect. The top tier they still use to take the water across that river. The bottom tier has a road built on it that cars still use. In fact, that's how we got across to the other side. It is really in perfect condition. And in the same area, in Nimes, France, I never attempt French pronunciation, was a big amphitheater. It isn't one of the largest that's still in existence, but it is one of the best preserved Roman amphitheaters that are still in existence. They still use it for bullfights and gatherings of that sort. We could not go inside, but we were able to walk around, and we could see in a few places where they had to shore it up and help it, but otherwise it was strictly there from the time of the Romans. There were lots of other interesting things like that, Roman examples along our road, but we just couldn't have time to take to see them all. We crossed into Spain about 5 o'clock. We had noticed quite shortly after we began in the morning from Lyon that the terrain of the land and the way the houses were built and everything took on a south flavor. It could have been Italy. It could have been a lot of places. And as far as the roll of the land went, it again could have been many places. Sometimes it looked like Wyoming, especially toward the end of last night. And then, of course, we got to the Mediterranean. And outside of Barcelona, it's all built up with beautiful swank hotels and beaches, the little bath cottages and all sorts of things like that. We found a hotel in Barcelona. Barcelona was teeming with people. They have the siesta after lunch and then don't get started again until late afternoon and go on into the night. And for a Monday night, there were just people out. Our hotel was on a busy street and everything is just packed with people. I wonder what they're all doing.
One thing that is very evident in Spain over France is how much cheaper it is. It cost us a little over $7 for a cubbyhole of a room while we stayed in Lyon on Sunday night. But here in Barcelona, we're staying in a pretty good sized room with shower, bath, toilet, all the facilities, and it's costing us a little bit less than $5 a night. We went to a chicken place to eat last night that was advertising $5 a day. That's also where we got the name of this hotel. And Phyllis and I each had some chicken, some French fries, ice cream, and something to drink, and each of our bills was about 70 cents. That's pretty cheap, really, anymore. We've just come back from a morning city sightseeing tour. It lasted about 2.5 hours. We've had better tours, but now we're a little bit acclimated to the city. The man had to speak 3 languages, and that always makes a little bit of a problem. And it was a little bit hard to understand him, so we missed some of the things that he had to say. This is really quite a metropolis. I believe he said there's 2.5 million people here in the city, and apparently that's true, and most of them must own automobiles, because the streets are really packed. Although we didn't see the number of people walking like we did last night, where they just seemed to come out of everywhere. There were thousands and thousands of people walking the streets and crossing the streets right in front of you as you drove, which made it pretty tough. What we saw this morning on our trip was the old cathedral. It's supposed to be one of the important ones in Spain. However, it's certainly not a very pretty cathedral, done up in the more Gothic style, but it's so dark inside you just can't see things very well and just can't enjoy them. What they've done, they didn't have many windows to start with, but when they made the individual little chapels around, everybody tried to outdo the other little chapel for their own private one to pray in. And they made these mammoth silver and gold altar pieces. Well, they made them so big and moved them against the wall so much that they covered up some of the windows that they did have in the cathedral. And of course, this made it darker still. Then to add to the darkness and detract from the beauty of it is the fact it's so 500 and some years old, and the smog and soot of the time have really blackened the interior of it quite badly. They're going to have to give it a good cleaning sometime, or it's just going to be a charcoal inside cathedral. We then visited the old Gothic quarter, the city, and the town hall, and a beautiful town hall building where they meet once a month. It's open to the public, but it's quite a small room, but very ornate, and those gold-plated ceiling hanging on mahogany wood that's been hand-carved, and lots of silver and gold around, and beautiful tapestries hanging from the walls. We visited a Spanish village. I guess back in 1929, they started out to have a World's Fair here, and it turned out to be kind of a flop due to the economic conditions in the world at that time. But they have maintained this area, and they have craftsmen and workers working in little buildings, and the buildings themselves are supposed to represent the architecture or some important building in the different regions of Spain. So there's a lot of goodies that you could buy at this place, plus see how they make copper plates, how they make the Toledo jewelry, the weaving and other things that they do here in Spain. Quite an interesting place. I wish we could have had more time to have walked around through it. 45 minutes wasn't long enough. Then we stopped above the harbor where we got a good look at the city, seeing how it's laid out with the harbor opening out onto the Mediterranean. See the pretty churches from above and the monument to Columbus. Incidentally, when we got back then to the hotel, we found out that we're staying very close to the harbor area. Looking at it on the map, we hadn't quite realized how close we were, but we're only about 2 blocks from the harbor. After our lunch, which we picked up out of the back of our automobile and brought to the room to eat, we decided to go up to the monastery Montserrat. This place has lots of legends tied to it, so it's a little hard to explain exactly what it is. But this old monastery has been there for about 1,100 years, off and on. Last time it was off was during the Napoleonic Wars. It was completely destroyed, and then it's been rebuilt since. We drove about 30 miles up into a little bit of hilly country, and then there's this mountain. It's kind of an odd mountain with kind of pine cone peaks to it. We then got aboard a cable car, which took us the last 11 kilometers, which I guess would be about 7 miles, and then went straight up to the abbey. This saved, actually, the 7 miles we'd had to drove by car, where you just wind round and round the mountain, and gave us a fairly decent view, although as we got there, it started to sprinkle on us a bit, and it got cloudier and went to raining after we'd been up there for a while, so we were almost too late getting there, because for long we couldn't see the peaks. We were disappointed, really, in the trip up there. It's supposed to be one of the more famous tourist attractions in Spain, but the basilica itself was, which we went to see, was so dark you just couldn't appreciate it.
When we looked at pictures on a postcard, it looked like it was completely gold inside, all the walls and the ceiling and everything, but we couldn't see this because it was so dim. The reason it is famous is because it has some things in this basilica, and honeymooners come here to get their marriages blessed. Kind of like, well, it's the book said it's Niagara Falls of Spain. Honeymooners come there.
At one time it was supposed to be the castle of the Holy Grail, and in the basilica is the Virgin Mary, who was supposedly made. It's a wooden figure made by St. Luke. It's now, through time, been turned completely black, and that was the one thing that was really pretty, because they did have it well lit, and it was way above the altar, but you could walk up around by it, and all the Catholics go by, and there's a small section that juts out from behind plexiglass, and they kiss this and cross themselves on the part that they can touch. That part was pretty, but the actual basilica, which I assume is probably covered with mosaics, was so dark we just couldn't see it to appreciate it. And then with the weather turning bad, it wasn't such a good trip. When we came back into town, then we went to look up a church, and we got back into town at the wrong time, and we had to really do battle with the traffic again. The name of the church is, in English, is the Temple of the Sacred Family. It's an uncompleted work by the architect Gaudí, and in some of our reading, comments of the author were that this guy apparently was crazy, but he did build what started out to be, anyway, a beautiful church. out being on a tour, and we can't find out enough about it. We don't know why the cathedral itself was not completed, but the front of it, the four spires, have been built. And I don't exactly know how to describe it, but maybe from just reading out of Arthur Frommer's book, Spain on $5 a Day, explains about as good as anything you could say, where he said it's difficult to describe and must be seen to be appreciated. But this will give you a clue. Spatial looseness with ornamental figures, four principal well-ventilated tapering towers with celestially orb peaks fringed with balls, and lots of melting gingerbread draped in a majestic batter-like ooze over a forest of stalagmites and jutting brown icicles. That's really a mouthful. I guess it explains it about as good as anybody could. It's just something you hard to believe as to the way the architect went about to design this church. After looking around it, we couldn't get inside. We were a little too late down. We battled the traffic and gotten over there. They closed, so we didn't get to go in and really view the church except from the front. We then headed back to our hotel and did battle again with the nighttime traffic. We must have only been about 3 miles from the hotel, but it took us close to an hour to get back to the hotel. There's just so much traffic, and all the streets are one way. You can't make left turns here and right turns there, and so you get on a street and it's pretty confusing, and with the traffic whizzing on both sides of you. So I was sure glad when we finally got ourselves back to the hotel. Then we picked out a good place out of the $5 a day to go to eat, which wasn't far from here. And as is our custom, we start out, and it takes a little longer to find a place than a person would expect, because they're usually down some side alleys and we just miss a sign or something. But we found this little tiny hole in the wall, which was up a dark alley. And man, you don't know if you really want to go up there or not. Went inside down here, was this real nice restaurant.
It's the oldest one in Barcelona.
Well, that restaurant's the oldest one in Barcelona.
The oldest one, yes.
Oh, Phyllis and I both ordered the same thing, the tourist special, and I don't tourist special anyway. They call it the turistico, whatever that really means. And we both had a very good steak for right at $2 with all the trimmings, including dessert. This is Wednesday night. We are now in Valencia, Spain, and I will do a little bit of recording here if it doesn't echo too much in this bathroom. Finally got out of Barcelona about 10 o'clock and headed for Valencia, which is about 220 miles on down the coast. Before I leave Barcelona, there is one other thing I should comment about, the city of many people and many cars. However, they have done a very good job of laying out streets, and they're very, very broad, so that they are able to handle many cars. In many streets, there would be six lines of traffic, so you can see they could handle a lot of traffic, except in the very old section of the city where only one car could get through once another one was parked. Otherwise, they really have laid it out well. We had an interesting trip, not spectacular by any stretch, but it reminded us of Arizona or Southwest Texas, the landscape, and many of the old towns that you go through where they really seemed about to be dried up is somewhat reminiscent of some of the towns down in the southwest part of the United States as well, although I think most of them are a little more prosperous looking than the ones that we saw today. We left the grape orchards behind, or vineyards would be a better term. These we've been following ever since we got into the middle of France and ran into the grape fields there. And throughout France and in the northern part of Spain, they are now harvesting these grapes, and we got to see many, many people working in the fields picking these grapes. Most fields would be between 6 and 10 people, I would judge, each carrying them a wicker basket. Pretty good size basket, about four times the normal laundry basket size. They'd fill these full and then put them on the back of a little tractor or on a wagon that would be pulled by a horse. Many of the grapes are all shades, some light green and some dark blue. We could see mixed up in the baskets. So apparently they must just fix the grapes of all different ripenings, and that gives it the wine the different flavors. Well, then we ran into olive trees, and where we ate lunch this noon, out of the back of the car, we were right in an olive grove. Our first place we stopped, though, and I guess the only place, was Tarragona, which is an old Roman city. Back when Rome was in power, this was a city of 250,000 people, and much of the wall that was used at that time is still standing. What they have done, they have built on top of this wall, and the many wars that these countries have seen, while through here, they have built this up so that the stones at the bottom of the wall were those that the Romans had the slaves hoist into place, and such mammoth pieces of stone that are in those walls. Through the years, the ruling powers have built on top of these stones until they have a real fine wall. However, it's been at least 300 years since this has been used, and it's in an excellent state of repair. Supposedly, this wall at Tarragona is one of the best preserved walls, Roman walls, in all the world. We will also see one up at Segovia that's supposed to be about as good. After Tarragona, then, back on the road through the olives, we passed into the orange groves. They're really pretty, and there's, of course, you've heard of Valencia oranges, and we sure saw many of them today. We stopped for a little break and pulled off the road and went back in to take a look at the oranges. And at the same time, we got an extra bonus because I noticed these tall reeds that were growing. And after taking a look at it, I'm pretty sure it would be what they make the big bamboo out of, like fishing poles. Boy, they stand about 20 feet tall, and they're really heavy stocked. You just can't begin to break them in two. So I'm pretty sure that's what we saw. As we neared Valencia, we noticed another crop that was growing, and this turned out to be rice that's growing. The fields were flooded, so we've pretty seen quite a few different kinds of fruits and products that the Spanish grow on our 200-mile trip today. I didn't mention why I was doing this taping in the bathtub. Unfortunately for me, about 2 days before we left Wiesbaden, I got another one of my attacks in the back. This wasn't apparently a bad one this time as I've had previously, but it bothers me, and these last 4 days of riding really doesn't make it feel too good. So I thought, well, I had a bathtub here tonight, I'd give it a good soaking and see if that didn't help some.
We are staying at a beautiful place tonight. It is one of the Paradores. A few years ago, the National Tourist Bureau of Spain started building better facilities for tourists in places where there weren't proper facilities. Many of these, they used old castles or old spots the tourists come to see, and in part of these, redid them completely over, modernizing them, of course, with restaurants and rooms with baths and everything. And they tried to keep them to fit whatever it was they were using for the outside walls. This particular one is new, and it is by the Mediterranean Sea. It has a golf course. It's all out by itself. It has a restaurant. And the rooms, supposedly, in all of these paradors are done by famous architects and decorators. And in our room, we have the heavy Spanish furniture in leather in use, wrought iron. The drapes and bedspreads are of homespun cloth, so that it all fits in with Spain and gives you a romantic place to stay. I can see that some of these paradors, which have been made out of old castles and such, must really be something to stay in because of the way they are decorated. The one at Granada, where we hope to be tomorrow night, is the most famous place to stay in all of Spain, and it is, the Parador is located right in the Alhambra itself. They don't have very many rooms. I asked the lady tonight if she could make a reservation ahead for us, and when she found out where, she said, no, they won't ever take reservations. They are always so full, but it's every day it's first come, first serve. But maybe we can stay in one or two more of these in Spain, because it is interesting.
This is Thursday, October 2nd, our fifth day of our trip through Spain. This was quite a grueling day, as we had about 320 to 25 miles to make, going from Valencia to Granada. The trip involved going along the Mediterranean coast down to Alicante, then to Murcia, then to Lorca, and finally turning in. The first two-thirds of the trip today was very pretty, because we were mainly following the Mediterranean Sea, which was on our left as we drove along, and then we passed all these fruit trees, which were on our right, and also it was mountainous at times, but we weren't into them too much, but you could see them in the backdrop, and this really made for quite a pretty trip today. We've really seen a lot of fruit on this trip. Today we passed lots of lemon and orange trees, more olive trees, and then we ran into a section where they were growing pomegranates on the trees, and a lot of them were turning red. And then later we got into the area where the grapes were growing, and they have these up on poles and laid over wire. I have an idea the grapes that are picked off of these are the kind that go to the markets for eating and not for making wine. We'll never know for sure, but that's what we think. A couple of things that we've also seen which don't fall in the fruit line was we've seen lots of places where they were drying the chili peppers. Some places they'd cover stretches about half the size of a football field on the side of a hill, where these red peppers are laid out to dry. They didn't get too much drying done today because we were in and out of rain showers quite a bit of the time as we come along the coast, and then after we turned west and come inland toward Granada, we ran into rain a lot. Matter of fact, when we got into Granada tonight, it was raining, and we were in rain quite a bit of the time. Also, we've seen places where they've been drying the rice that was grown around Valencia. They put it out on cement platforms, winnow it, scooping it up in the air. We saw some of that. And then they just plain lay it out on the cement for it to dry. But as I said, they had a tough time getting much drying done today. It also rained some showers yesterday. Something else we did yesterday that wasn't mentioned was the fact that while we were stopped at Tarragona, we had some figs to eat. They'd fallen off the trees there. This is the first time I've ever eaten figs right off the tree. Considerably different than having them after they've been preserved. Well, after driving along this pretty drive, which to the right side, inland, could remind you, as we've mentioned probably previously, of New Mexico or any of the areas around El Paso or Arizona, we pass through Alicante about noon and then stop in, we'll call it Elche, where they have a national date forest. We got a little bit lost in the town, but finally got back to the forest where we really saw some pretty date groves. Now these groves, which were spread out through this area, apparently the dates were transported sometime during the previous centuries from the Sahara Desert up into this region.
These date palm trees were very pretty and were all along in that town, and then part of it has been made into a national shrine, a national park. The date trees grow to be over 90 feet high, and they can live for 300 years. They have male trees and female trees. The male trees have the flowers, and then they pollinate the flowers on the female trees. The female trees make the figs, or I mean the dates. The dates are ready to be harvested about in December, and we saw great clusters on the trees. There seemed to be about 7 great big clusters way up there on the top of the tree, spaced evenly all the way around the tree, but we did see some trees that had as much as 12 and 13 of these great big clusters around the trees. This part that we went into, we paid admission, and it was really pretty because it was like an outside botanical garden. They had philodendron and rubber tree and all sorts of those great big leaved plants that grew on the ground beneath these date trees. We could have spent a lot longer there. Of course, I had to buy some dates to eat them. Some of the dates had fallen off these trees. It was a well-kept park, and the gardeners were working, and one of them showed us where these dates would drop off, which weren't ripe, but then they would go into the ground very easily, and he was chopping off little sprouts where new little trees were starting. So evidently they take root quite well, but it seems like it would take a long, long time for a tree to grow to maturity. We followed then for lots of miles date trees all along there. Finally, we did turn inland though, and then the landscape became very sparse. Although tucked in pockets, we would still find lemon trees. And they were trying to raise olives all the way through, almost to Granada. Some of them seemed like the trees seemed like they had died, and I don't know if the poor farmers would have much success or not. This was a very barren part of the country, and yet there were surprisingly a lot of people around. You would come upon these little towns that seemed to be packed with people. We saw a lot of cave houses. The land looked like earth, but it was probably more rock, and these caves would be into the sides of these rocks. People would live there. Sometimes they would build a stone front on the cave and paint it white. We passed a lot of donkeys carrying things. I don't really know what these people did do for a living. I think I'm glad I wasn't born up there. By coming into Granada in the rain, we did miss out what must be a pretty view. All of the books have talked about this view with the Sierra Nevada mountains in the background over Granada, and one can see the Alhambra on a hill because you come down to Granada from the mountains and it lies in a valley. But we couldn't see any of this because of the low clouds and the rain. We did go to the Alhambra to see if we could stay in a national parador, which was made out of an old monastery, but it was filled just like I was afraid it would be. Granada is a modern city, but up on this hill is the place called the Alhambra, the old Moorish part, and when you go to that part, that's where you see all the different things that the tourists come to see in Granada.
This trip turns out to be quite tiring, especially about 5 o'clock in the evening as we're pushing on and got another 60 or 70 miles to make. It seems like, my goodness, don't we ever get a chance to stop and really look at anything, and all we got to do is make more miles. We've already come about 1,500 miles now from Wiesbaden, and we still have another couple hundred, I guess, to make before we'll finally turn and head back toward Wiesbaden. There are a lot of scenes that I haven't been able to get on my camera because we must continue to drive on to get these miles in. It's pretty hard to make better than 40 miles an hour, and many times it's even less than that. Phyllis mentioned the people riding the donkeys. Another familiar sight now is the donkey pulling a cart with the great big wheels, like you may recall in the Ferdinand the Bull type story, where it showed him pulling the great big wheeled wagons. These people really must have to grub out quite a living, and they seem to be hard at it, yet when you go through these towns where the houses empty out onto the street, you do see a lot of people sitting around at all hours of the day and apparently don't have too much to do to keep themselves occupied. It was really raining hard when we got into town. Finally run into a hotel. We're at a tough time with the language problem tonight. And
Coe College, D-grade.
She keeps giving me a bad time about my Spanish. I'm supposed to be a Spanish expert since I took 2 years of it. What was that, 15, 17 years ago? Well, anyway, I was only a C student in Spanish, and it's showing up right now. Well, they sent this bellhop, just this young kid, to go back and help me bring the bags back in the rain. I think he thought maybe I hadn't brought a car in because I was parked about 10 blocks away from this hotel where we ended up going after we got turned down up at the Parador. And then, of course, he couldn't speak English, and he would direct us out and get back to the hotel. We had ourselves quite a time. Then we got him back to the hotel. He asked us if we wanted a garage, and so we went all through the whole procedure again as he rode in the car and directed us up to this garage. He's really a cute little rascal anyway. But we got ourselves settled in and then went down and had ourselves a delicious evening meal. We also had a good one last night. We had so much food last night we couldn't eat it all. So we may end up getting fat on this trip to boot, even though we are skipping breakfast sometimes and eating out of the back seat of the Newton portable cafeteria.
This next day brought beautiful clear blue sky and sunshine. This was the day where we climbed the hill in the brown car to the Alhambra. The Alhambra sits on the top of a hill overlooking the city and has a magnificent view with mountains all around. But first there's this vast plain filled with green things growing. And right at the foot of the hill then is the White Town. I say White Town because in this part of Spain, the houses are whitewashed and they have the flat tile roofs, and it makes for pretty towns. On a hill, which was part of the town, you could see caves into the hill, and in these caves gypsies live, and we're told that some of the houses they have are quite nice back in there. The Alhambra consists of several different parts. The first part we visited was really a ruin of a Moorish palace that they have reconstructed the lines of, and we could climb the tower of one of the old gates to get even a farther view of the plain and the mountains, the Sierra Nevada, and all the other ones that surround Granada. Then we went to the Alcazar, which is the Alhambra that you read about in books. This is the palace that was later built. After the fall of Rome, the Visigoths came, the barbaric tribes, and then they were in turn conquered by the Moors. And the Moors had this extensive Ottoman kingdom. One of the sultans began this palace, and it was built on during the 14th century. It was truly something beautiful and very hard to describe. I'd seen the pictures, but it still wasn't as good as seeing it up close. The Moors had a different style of architecture than we are used to seeing, and this is a marvelous example. They get a real effect of coolness with a lot of space, and they build their rooms around courtyards. And in the courtyards, they use a lot of big plants and trees and fountains so that you just feel so cool. Then the walls are relieved by using geometric designs which have been baked into the tiles. Now this palace didn't have much color in the tiles, especially the sides of the walls, and the ceiling sometimes they did. And besides using this tile, they'd also stucco a design on the tile before they baked it so that it was two-dimensional. Then some of the tile they actually cut holes clear through so that it looked just like lace. And all of this looked so neat and precise. Plus, it was so clean. We both remarked at that. We've seen so many of these great sites of the world, so many of the cathedrals and the paintings, which are covered with good old 20th century car smog. And it's too bad, but this wasn't. Everything was so clean. The ceilings were a wonder. They used lots of wood in this too, and they had some of this beautiful carved ceilings out of wood which had been painted with gold and maybe a little bit of other colors. But the gold was just incidental as a touch. It wasn't gilded all over. But the most remarkable ceilings were domed, and then they used this tile in a honeycomb effect. It did. It looked like you were looking up into a honeycomb. And inside of each little cell were colors. It was really interesting and beautiful, I thought. Just like everything else, you have to see it to believe it, and we're certainly glad that we could see it because it is a wonder of the world. So many things of the past, when the next conqueror comes in, he destroys it, and we are lucky that this and a few other of the Moorish things are saved in Spain. Not because the Christians tried to save them, but just through a quirk of fate, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I did with Dad, too, that you talk about saving. I mean, they just about destroyed it then, because when the Catholics threw the Moors out, they took the palace over and used it just for a short time and then turned it over to the gypsies, and the gypsies were just living and camping in the thing. So it pretty badly deteriorated. Then the French came in the 18th century, and they lived there, and they tore up tiles and took stuff away. So it has deteriorated, and there was restoration work done to put it back into the condition it is at the present time.
Well, one of the people who was instrumental in calling this beautiful place to the attention of the world and even to the Spanish government was Washington Irving, when he came here and took some rooms in this place. It was just kind of up for grabs. Anybody could stay in this palace that wanted to, and that's why the gypsies were there with their fires, smoke fires, covering over the tile. But anyway, Washington Irving wrote the Tales of the Alhambra and brought it to the attention of the world. One of the Catholic kings decided to build a palace even better than the Alhambra, and he started to build a palace. He even had to tear down a little bit of the Alhambra to get it, his palace, in on the hill. And it was never finished, and of course it looks just like a monstrosity beside of this light, delicate, beautiful, but very tasteful palace of the Moors. The Sultan had another retreat called the General Life on that same hill, and it really wasn't very elaborate at all. It was mostly just a garden. In fact, that's part of what set off all of this hill, were the gardens, just flowers everywhere and fountains, beautiful trimmed trees in geometric designs, and shrubs and cypress trees in rows that met over your head almost. It was a lovely way to spend the morning, and we would have liked to have spent more. They light that Alhambra at night, and you can go through it at night. And sometime maybe I'll come back and go through it at night, because it would be pretty. It's something, when I woke up the next morning, I wanted to go back because it was like a dream. It was so unbelievable, and I wanted to go back and see it again and see if it was really the way it struck me the first time.
Yeah, very easily satisfied, are you?
I know, I should be glad I saw it once, but it's still kind of dreamlike. We had to rush down from the hill then, and getting to the cathedral covered a massive amount of area, and it was huge when we got inside, but it was almost too much after seeing that beautiful Alhambra. It was white inside, but it was just so huge you could hardly walk through it without getting tired, and of course it didn't give you a reverent feeling at all. It made you feel pretty insignificant in that big place. Everything closed at one then, and we did miss getting into the chapel off the side of that cathedral. In this chapel were the bones of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand. They're the two Catholic monarchs who married and united a couple provinces in this area, and they were the ones that chased the Moors out of Spain. Of course, they're the ones who also helped finance Columbus. Every town around here seems to have the main boulevard named Columbus. Even more Columbus streets than Generalissimo Franco streets. It's too bad we missed it, because by postcards, it did seem to be quite elaborate and golden and all that. We walked down a little street, which is just like it used to be when it was part of the Moorish market, with the little tiny stores, all with the horseshoe arches which Moorish architecture employs. Then it was time to leave Granada for Seville. While Jerry was changing some money, though, before we left, I was standing there just watching the people on the street. I'd read in books, and we haven't encountered any begging, I guess one time. And that is something that one had heard used to occur a lot in Spain, begging. The government, I guess, has tried to do away with this. We notice now lots of blind people without an arm or without any legs on the street selling national lottery tickets. And I had read in a book that this was one way the government was getting rid of the beggars. They were trying to employ them in some sort of a job, and it was really pathetic to watch them sit there. There was a blind woman selling these lottery tickets, and she'd sell one or two, but she'd have to holler in her voice every once in a while to peddle her wares. And it made me glad that I was born the way I was. There were so many of those people. Another way I think they give employment to these people is every time you park, there's a man in a uniform that comes up and charges you a little bit of money, and then he watches over your cars. Just everywhere you go, there seem to be those men, and so often they're without an arm. Of course, with that terrible Civil War from 36 to 39, I'm sure that a lot of the people were maimed, and they have to find something for them to do.
Well, there's been over a million people killed during that war. So.
Yeah, a million killed, so a lot more hurt probably. But I think that's better, to give them a little something to do than begging or handing out the unemployment checks like we do. Another thing we've noticed is policemen. There seem to be some sort of official standing all over the place all the time. They get a big bang out of turning off the traffic lights and then getting out in the middle of the street and directing the traffic instead with their whistle. So many of them have on white suits, white hat, white gloves, the works. But there seem to be all sorts of other kind of uniforms wandering around. And very often they're really not doing anything. The other night when we were driving, the policeman blew his whistle and a couple of the cars that were in the front of the row kept charging out to try and get across that particular avenue. And he whistled them to a stop again, and the car ran into a bike. They were both going so slow that it didn't hurt the driver. But the policeman just shrugged his shoulders and looked the other way. On the way from Granada to Seville, we passed through a countryside that I thought was interesting. I suppose a lot of people wouldn't find it too interesting. It was sort of mountainous, and yet they farmed an awfully lot of it. And it seemed to be that they were trying to get more and more of this land under cultivation. In fact, there were some towns that we have read the government established complete new agricultural towns, and they're trying to introduce different crops into these regions to get them to grow. The soil doesn't look too productive, but they certainly have been successful with the olive trees. We saw millions of olive trees between Granada and Seville. And corn. This corn actually looked very good and healthy. Not real big fields, but awfully big fields by European standards, I would say. They already picked a lot of the corn and laid it out on the hillsides to dry. And since you were on an undulating road where you were up over hills, you got good panoramic views, and you could see a lot of these yellow hillsides with the corn drying. We got to Sevilla just as the traffic was starting to get heavy, but then I think no matter when you came anywhere, the traffic here would be awful. We got turned down at the first hotel we tried, and it was a shame because it was one of those beautiful little tiny places on a crooked street in the heart of the old Sevilla, with the wrought iron balconies and flowers everywhere and a little courtyard, and it just looked like it would have been so quaint and so nice. So instead we went to our second choice, which turned out to be very nice, but after seeing the first one, it was really just a hotel. And who wants to stay in just a hotel when you could stay in something different? Many cities are prettier after dark when they are lit up, and I think Sevilla in a way was one of them, at least the newer part of Sevilla. We walked around, the fountains were lit, spotlighted. The old part took on a quaint charm, and you didn't see any dirt at all. We looked at the cathedral, which is supposed to be the largest in area in the world besides St. Paul's of Rome and, oh dear, St. Peter's of Rome and St. Paul's of London. And this was a different outside. It was spotlighted too, and it looked like a cathedral or something that would have been found in Istanbul, because it had all these little points up at the top and sort of little humpies on the roof, and it was a massive thing, very pretty in the spotlight. Jerry said, well, it won't look that way in the morning, and sure enough, it didn't. You could see the dirt from the cars and the smog, and it didn't look nearly as fairy tale-ish as it had the night before. We ate in a restaurant that had atmosphere. It was a huge room, very quaint, with many things hanging around, but it was also very, very noisy. We did enjoy it, and we tried one of the specialties of Spain, paella, which is made of saffron rice. It had peas, green beans, red peppers, fish, shrimp, chicken in it. It's very good, very filling.
Another thing about the food, it's been very filling. We've really had some big meals. From there, we went up to the hotel we got turned down on to watch some flamingo dancing. But we miscued there again. And they were not having flamingo dancing there, I guess because now the peak of the tourist season is over. So it was about 20 after 11 and too late to go to another place to watch it. So we went back to our room, as Phyllis says, to itch the mosquito bites that we've accumulated. And we've accumulated a few of them. They've sure got mosquitoes in Spain, we can say that for sure.
And this is the second night now where I keep waking up in the night and there'd be an old mosquito buzzing around my ears. Oh.
Saturday turned out to be a real fine day for the driver, because we visited in the morning the sites that we had seen during our quick walk around the town on Friday night. And we didn't have many miles to travel. After a quick drive through the downtown area, we went to the Alcazar, which is the palace, and really was for Pedro the